If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 10 and verses 18 to 28, as we continue in our series, Don't Waste the Victory. 2 Kings chapter 10, starting at verse 18. Then Jehu brought all the people together and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little, Jehu will serve him much. Now summon all the prophets of Baal, all his ministers and all his priests. See that no one is missing, because I am going to hold a great sacrifice for Baal. Anyone who fails to come will no longer live. But Jehu was acting deceptively in order to destroy the ministers of Baal. Jehu said, call an assembly in honor of Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then he sent word throughout Israel, and all the ministers of Baal came. Not one stayed away. They crowded into the temple of Baal until it was full from one end to the other. And Jehu said to the keeper of the wardrobe, bring robes for all the ministers of Baal. So he brought out robes for them. Then Jehu and Jehonadab, son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal. Jehu said to the ministers of Baal, look around and see that no servants of the Lord are here with you, only ministers of Baal. So they went in to make sacrifices and burn offerings. Now Jehu had posted 80 men outside with this warning. If one of you lets any of the men I am placing in your hands escape, it will be your life for his life. As soon as Jehu had finished making the burnt offering, he ordered the guards and officers, go in and kill them. Let no one escape. So they cut them down with the sword. The guards and officers threw the bodies out and then entered the inner shrine of the temple of Baal. They brought the sacred stone out of the temple of Baal and burned it. They demolished the sacred stone of Baal and tore down the temple of Baal, and people have used it for a latrine to this day. So Jehu destroyed Baal worship in Israel. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just teach us this morning what we need to do to fire up so we can get that spirit of Baal out of the church and out of this country and out of us. I pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. For months and months leading up to the election last November the 5th, a black pastor named Michael B. Jordan put up all kinds of messages on the sign in front of his New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Messages that said things like this. A vote for Donald Trump will put blacks back to picking cotton. A black vote for Trump is mental illness. And then after Donald Trump won the election, he put even more messages on that sign leading up to Inauguration Day. Messages that said things like this. Trump deceived poor white folks. Undercover racist elected Donald Trump. And when a reporter asked him why he put political messages on the sign in front of his church, this is what the pastor said.
God motivates me to take a stand for what's right. Read the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And look in the White House. If they call me a racist, look in the White House.
Now, first of all, that's an insult to every black American in this country who voted for Donald Trump. But not only that, gee, I thought churches weren't supposed to have anything to do with politics. Oh, that's right. That's just the churches that have Trump supporters in them, right? Folks, the country is so screwed up because the church is so screwed up. And if the church today does not apply the victory that God gave us last November the 5th, the church is going to waste that victory. And the greatest opportunity the church has ever had and the last chance the church is ever going to get to win this country to Jesus Christ. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Don't Waste the Victory, looking at all kinds of things we need to do to maximize the victory that Donald Trump won for America last November the 5th. Exactly the same kind of victory that King Jehu won for the northern kingdom of Israel 800 years before the birth of Christ. Last week we stood up so we could have victory over the enemy. And today we need to fire up so the church can have victory over the enemy. And to see that, we turn today to 2 Kings chapter 10 and verses 18 to 28. In this part of 2 Kings chapter 10, Jehu continues his calling of wiping out the family of Ahab and Jezebel. And in our text today, he wipes out the spirit of Baal that Ahab and Jezebel had introduced to the country. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we want to wipe out the spirit of Baal that the devil has introduced to the church, we need to do exactly the same thing that Jehu does here. Our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 18 to 28, tells us three reasons why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church so we can win this country to Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church is because we're called to do it. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 18 to 20. Jehu was called to do it. Jehu was called by God to wipe out the entire family of Ahab and Jezebel and all the worshipers of Baal, the false god that they'd hyped all over Israel. And Jehu did it. And he piled up more bodies than a Die Hard movie. Jehu was fired up. And Christians were called to do exactly the same thing. Because folks, there's a devil in the church today, the spirit of Baal. So for crying out loud, hate that which is evil, fan into flame the gift that you've been given, and cast out that devil by the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
Don't burn out or chill out, fire up, because that's what God has called us to do. That's what Jehu was called to do. Now all the Baal worshipers here had gone into hiding because they'd seen on Facebook all the people that Jehu had already wiped out of the family of Ahab and Jezebel. So verses 18 and 19, in a primetime speech from the Oval Office, Jehu told the people of the northern kingdom, you think Ahab served and worshiped Baal? You ain't seen nothing yet. So he invited all the ministers of Baal and all the worshipers and followers of Baal to the Super Baal, the Super Bowl of Baal sacrifices at the Super Dome, the temple of Baal that Ahab had built for Jezebel in Samaria. All the Baal fans were going to be there. All the hotels and Airbnbs in the entire northern kingdom booked up just like that. They were going to party like it was 875 B.C. And Taylor Swift's great-grandmother, 92 times removed, was going to be the opening act. Be there or be square. But verse 20 said it was just a trap. Because instead of trying to hunt down all the followers of Baal individually, Jehu was going to get them all together in one place and bug bomb them like cockroaches. You say, well, Kevin, Jehu was lying then. Yeah. Just like the Hebrew midwives lied to the Egyptians to save the lives of the Hebrew baby boys. Just like Rahab lied to save the lives of the 12 spies in Jericho. God didn't tell him to do it because God doesn't always prescribe what he describes in his word. But those people did it anyway. And God used it for his purposes. Because God's people were under attack. And what mattered was the motives of people's hearts. Now, does that mean it's okay for you to lie to your wife about the side girl you have at work? Does that mean it's okay for you to lie to your parents about what's on your phone? No, because this is an act of war. Yours is an act of stupidity. Jehu was called by God to fire up and cast out the spirit of Baal. Now, Baal and his demonic wife Asherah were fertility gods that supposedly made it rain and made people prosperous. And they were worshipped with all kinds of false teaching and sexual perversion and temple prostitution and child sacrifice. So a lot of their priests were homosexuals and claimed that they were both men and women at the same time. Sound familiar? And I know somebody's here and you say, well, Kevin, I thought you said the problem in the northern kingdom of Israel was the spirit of Jezebel. Yeah. See, Baal represented the devil. And Jezebel was just one of his many demon spirits because they were legion. And Baal was called Lord and Master, just like Christians called Jesus Lord and Master. So Baal is just a cheap imitation of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Baal is the spirit of Antichrist. And the symbol for Baal was the bull. And people, we see it everywhere. Remember the golden bull's head you saw on the platform at the Olympics in Paris last summer? That was Baal. Back in 2016, New York City put up what's called the Palmyra Arch, a 20-foot tall replica of a gateway to a temple of Baal that ISIS had destroyed in Iraq in 2015. And notice they put up that gateway to the temple of Baal right at the entrance of Wall Street, the financial district in New York City, where was already what? The statue of the famous bull. Bull market, symbol of prosperity. People, that's Baal. And that ain't no bull. And then the very next year, they put up that same Palmyra Arch, the gateway to the Temple of Baal, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., with Capitol Hill right in the background. How appropriate. You don't think the spirit of Baal is all over Washington, D.C.? You don't think the spirit of Baal is all over this country? And folks, you see it everywhere. There's music groups called Baal. There's songs called Baal. Baal was in a video game called Diablo. There's an ad for Balenciaga glorifying the sexual abuse of kids. See the little girl holding the teddy bear in bondage gear? See the little boy here with the crime scene tape in front of him? See what's printed on that crime scene tape? Do you see it? B-A-A-L. Bail. We got to fire up Christians because he's everywhere. And it's not because Baal is making a comeback. It's because he never left to start with. And worst of all, the spirit of Baal today is all over the church. See the banner United Methodist Church used last December for Christmas? A gay in a manger. Implying that Jesus was gay. That's the crystal methodists, in case you don't know. PCUSA Church in Iowa, celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, otherwise known as Easter. Listen to this prayer.
O God of pronouns, we give praise to the Great One, the One who is identifiable as God. I am what I am, you say, the great they, the incarnate he and she, the God of trans being.
People, it's blasphemy. The PCUSA, the ELCA, United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, they're just gone. They're not denominations, they're abominations. That's the spirit of Baal in front of our very eyes. Amen. Gets even worse. See the church with the little boy wearing a dress because he thinks he's trans? And instead of praying over him, instead of trying to counsel him, they do this goofy glitter celebration to celebrate it.
Sprinkle. And see how things begin to twinkle. A little here. Yeah, a little there. A little bit everywhere. Glitter, glitter, anywhere. Is your sanctuary such a bore? How about some sparkle to your, how about adding some sparkle to the floor?
My God, people, it really is that bad. And the only thing I can say is Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed. You don't think the spirit of Baal is all over the church today? And you don't think, Christians, that we've been called by God to fire up so we can cast out that spirit of Baal? Amen. But to cast it out, we have to be able to recognize it. Amen. And the problem is that spirit of Baal often comes disguised. How? As an angel of light. Just like that. For 3 years now, a ministry called He Gets Us has been running an ad during the Super Bowl to tell hundreds of millions of people all over the world that Jesus gets us. Here's part of that ad that they ran the last Sunday during the first half.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Reach out and touch faith.
Pictures of people in all different kinds of situations and poignant moments showing love to each other and reaching out and helping each other. And the message, of course, is that Jesus loves us and that Jesus helps us too. Because the Bible really does say Jesus really does get us. Because Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth in human form so we could experience every single thing that you and I experience. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired and hungry and dirty and thirsty. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted by every single thing that you and I are tempted by. Jesus knows what it's like to be depressed and dumped on and rejected and have your heart broken in a million pieces by people who are supposed to love you more than anything else in the whole wide world. Jesus really does get us because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be us. Job chapter 23 verse 10, he knows our way. And folks, I am for absolutely anything that gets people closer to Jesus, but the problem is, He Gets Us doesn't do that. It doesn't do that because it's coming from something called the evangelical left. Leftists who just call themselves Christians. From a leftist ministry called Come Near. And a far left ad agency called the Lermer ad agency that's pro-gay and pro-open borders and pro-abortion. Which is why in that video you saw pictures of the Christian hugging the gay guy. At the Pride Parade. And a picture of a guy scrubbing the words go back off a wall. Graffiti that was written there. a message to the immigrants to go back to wherever they came from. So those videos turned Jesus into a woke social justice warrior. And the message is, if you're a Christian and you believe and care what the Bible says about LGBTQ and border security, you're just a racist, bigoted homophobe. Don't worry about what the Word of God says, because, hey, Jesus gets us, right? But the problem is, he gets us, doesn't get the gospel. Because Jesus did not just come here to get us. Most importantly, he came here to save us by being the perfect Son of God who died on the cross to pay the price for our sin and rose from the dead. And by telling us that we need to repent and put our faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that can take our sins away, and ask him to come into our heart and be our Savior. People, Jesus got murdered because he told people they needed to deal with their sin. Not just because he told them a bunch of politically correct, I'm okay, you're okay, claptrap. I am for anything that gets people the gospel, but folks, that does not do it. Because there's absolutely nothing in that video that tells people who Jesus even is, or why they even really need him to start with. So unbelievers watch that video, they come away thinking Jesus is just some moralistic hippie who goes around giving people bro hugs. But the Bible tells us, Revelation chapter 1, when we're standing before God on judgment day, Jesus' eyes are going to be like blazing fire, and his face is going to be like the sun shining in all of its brilliance, and his voice is going to thunder like Niagara Falls, and he will tread the winepress of the fury, the wrath of God Almighty. And I guarantee you, nobody there will go up to Jesus and give him a side hug and ask him how it's hanging. They will fall at his feet as though dead.
Amen.
And those videos say nothing about that. $16 million on a one-minute ad. They could at least share the gospel and showed a picture of Jesus on the cross. But instead, all we get is a bunch of leftist mumbo-jumbo about how Jesus is like us, but absolutely nothing about the fact that we're supposed to be like him. People, that is not biblical Christianity. That is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, that is another Christ who cannot redeem you or save your soul. And the reason we have to call this out is because that is the spirit of Baal right in front of our very eyes. Because he gets us, does not get Jesus at all. The first reason why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church is because we're called to do it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church. Not just because we're called to do it, but also because we need to do it. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 21 to 24. Why do we need to do it? To keep God's people from getting brainwashed and destroyed by the spirit of Baal too. Which is one of the biggest reasons Jehu needed to do it. Now the question is, how could these Baal people be this stupid to fall for this trap? Because they knew about all the pagans that Jehu had already killed. Well, that's easy. Because these people had already been deceived by the devil. And if you worship a false god, people will line up from here to kingdom come to join you in it. And Coley Katie barred the door. Did they ever do it here? Because everybody who was somebody and everybody else who was nobody in the northern kingdom was in that temple. All of Baal nation. And the Hebrew tells us it wasn't just all the ministers of Baal. It was all the worshipers and followers of Baal too. Verse 21, nobody stayed home. Now that temple wasn't no cracker box either. Because with the inner and the outer courts, it held thousands and thousands of people. And verse 21 says it was packed to the gunwales from end to end. So not just in front by the stage, even back in the cheap seats and up in the balconies. Record overflow crowd, standing room only. And verse 24 says, Jehu had 80 soldiers stationed just outside, waiting to kill them all. Verse 22. So Jehu gives all the Baal people some swag, some commemorative t-shirts to wear, so that the soldiers wouldn't have to guess who they should and shouldn't kill. And verse 23, Jehu makes more than sure, absolutely certain, there are no worshipers of God among the worshipers of Baal in that temple. And you say, Kevin, why would there be any worshipers of God among the worshipers of Baal in that temple? I'll tell you why. Because sometimes God's people lose their fire. And they end up in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, doing wrong things. And God, in his absolute mercy and grace, His amazing grace does not want His people to be destroyed with the pagans when the judgment comes and the destruction falls. Jehu needed to take on the spirit of Baal to protect his God's people. And Christians, listen to me, we need to do the same thing. We need to take on the spirit of Baal to protect God's people, because there's a lot of Christians today in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. Pastor Jermiel Washington, Common Good Church, Washington, D.C. Listen to his sermon.
God worships me. Can you say that with me? What if God worships me? A God who worships me is quite the statement. I know.
No, thank you. Folks, that's not theology. That's called meology. What's been the devil's goal from the very beginning? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, to be worshipped just like God. That's the spirit of Baal. You see it in Pastor Stephen Furtick and Pastor Creflo Dollar.
I'm in covenant with God Almighty. I am God Almighty.
I'm going to say to you right now, you are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God, and you are God's. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in.
Pastors of Baal. Folks, if I was in those churches when those guys said that, I'd have been out of those churches so fast the clocks would have turned back an hour. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days many will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, teaching doctrines of demons. There's Pastor Mike Huck and Paula White.
I now come into a priestly anointing.
Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of
God. He's the first fruit.
He's the first fruit. He's the firstborn of many. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God.
John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. End of discussion. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, in the end, we will be like Him. But that does not mean we will be equal to Him, because Jesus has no equal. People. And in case you don't know, President Donald Trump just named Paula White to be the head of the White House Faith Office. Paula White, who says all kinds of heretical things that are totally off the wall. You say, well, Kevin, why did President Trump do that? Because President Trump doesn't know everything about Paula White. Just like too many Christians don't know everything about Paula White. And then there's all the Christians with the spirit of Baal who are drunk on the rainbow Kool-Aid. Jimmy Carter, who died last December the 29th, said this. Jesus would approve of gay marriage because throughout His entire ministry, Jesus never said one thing about homosexuality. Oh, yes, He did. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus said from the very beginning, God created male and female, men and women for each other and only for each other. Amen. So let me ask you, how'd you like to be Jimmy Carter and die and immediately stand before God? And find out, what do you know? Homosexuality really is a sin. And you spent the last 65 years of your life getting people to believe the lie. What do you know? It really is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. You say, well, Kevin, people, they're just born gay. They're just born like that. Oh, no, they are not. Dr. Francis Collins, the number one expert in the entire world on human genetics, said this, there is not one single shred of evidence that even suggests that anybody is born gay. Now, is it possible to be a Christian and struggle with gay attraction and same-sex attraction? Absolutely it is. Every single one of us is going to go to heaven someday struggling with all kinds of sins. But can you be a Christian and be openly gay and have no conviction about it whatsoever and think it's fine? No, because 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says, anyone who continues to sin, no matter what the sin is, openly and unrepentantly, that person does not know God and will never see God. And we might as well take it on, because you see this meme all over the internet right now. The term homosexual, previous slide, that one. Homosexual did not exist until 1892. This was many centuries after the Bible was written and assembled. In other words, the homosexuality the Bible's talking about, that's not the homosexuality we have today. Are you kidding me? My response to that meme is, so what? Homosexual is an English word. The Greek word for homosexual that's used all throughout the Bible is arsenokoitai, and it literally means men who bed other men. What do you think that means? Do I have to draw you a picture? Loving people in spite of their sin is a Jesus thing. Loving people by celebrating their sin, that is a devil thing. That's a spirit of Baal thing. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, how come your church speaks out about issues like this and tells the truth, and that doesn't happen at my church? I'll tell you why. Because my church believes the Bible is the Word of God, and your church doesn't. We got to take on the spirit of Baal. Folks, to take on the spirit of Baal, we got to fire up and stand up and speak up about issues. And I realize when I say that, the church of Nice is having the flop sweats. Oh, we can't do that. We can't talk about anything controversial. Those are political issues. We don't talk about political issues. Well, Christians aren't supposed to have anything to do with politics. For the love of God, people, didn't the train wreck we went through the last 4 years prove to you what a disaster happens when Christians don't get involved in politics? Did you see Pastor Rick Warren's latest post that he since deleted? He put out a picture of Jesus crucified between the two thieves in the middle. And he said, Jesus being crucified in the middle between two thieves means Christians always need to take the middle ground when it comes to political issues and be neither right or left, because Jesus was always in the middle. People, that is the worst biblical interpretation I've ever heard in my entire life. Because Jesus was definitely not in the middle when it comes to killing of unborn babies and gay marriage and the transmutilation of little kids' bodies. And gee, I think I remember a verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Jesus has absolutely nothing but contempt for Christians who are lukewarm. So much for that. Bolsheviks in Illinois state government right now are trying to criminalize Christian homeschooling in Illinois. They're trying to legalize assisted suicide because evidently J.B. Pritzker isn't killing enough people now through abortion. They are trying to legalize prostitution to make it easier for pervs and predators in this state to sex traffic little kids. That is demonic evil staring us right in the face. And all kind of Christians say, oh, we can't do anything. We just need to be nice because that's what Jesus would do. Kevin, we just need to love Jesus. We just need to love Jesus. I've heard it a billion times. Yes, we love Jesus. But Psalm chapter 97, verse 10 says, you really love the Lord, then you will hate evil and you will speak up and stand up and try to do something to stop it. The spirit of Baal. Folks, we see that spirit of Baal in the church and all the opposition to Donald Trump. One of the biggest things that Fox River gets called all the time is the MAGA church or the Church of Trump, which is absolutely ridiculous. But how many of y'all realize there really is such a thing as the Church of Never Trump? And I know there is because I get letters from them all the time. Pastor Garner, why did your church decide to trust Trump rather than God? Kevin, MAGA is the great delusion that is distracting you from your real mission. You at Fox River Trump Church have sold out to an orange devil who is leading you away from Christ. I could go on and on and on. And folks, the Church of Never Trump is everywhere. There's Christians against Christian nationalism who show up at every conservative rally telling Christians they shouldn't have anything to do with politics, which is ironic because those Christians have everything to do with politics. There's a group called Christians Against Donald Trump. There's Christian pastors like John Piper and Ed Stetzer, the dean of Wheaton College, who have trashed Donald Trump for the last 10 years and who tweeted out that his victory last November the 5th was evil because they hate the man so much they don't realize if Donald Trump hadn't won, Kamala Harris would have. There's other Never Trumpers who just call themselves Christians, like Faithful America, who goes to every conservative rally with a big blow-up balloon of a golden calf shaped like Donald Trump. And the implication is if you support Donald Trump, you're an idol worshiper. There was that group, the Evangelicals for Kamala Harris, with men like David French, who said he voted for Kamala Harris to save conservatism, whatever in the heck that's supposed to mean. And they're not real Christians, they're leftists, because they're all for abortion, and they're pro-gay, and they're pro-open borders. So you would expect those people to vote against Donald Trump. But there are also Never Trumpers listening to the sermon right now. You really are Christians and you really are saved. So I need to ask you, how can you not like what you're seeing from Donald Trump right now? How many born-again Christians did Joe Biden surround himself with when he was in the White House? Like none? How many Christians does Donald Trump have around him right now?
The last 4 years, there are times I'm sure you thought it was pretty dark. But look what God has done. Let us pray.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Bless those who persecute you.
And seeking after God again than we've seen in decades.
Franklin Graham, who prayed at the inauguration. J.D. Vance, who's a serious Christian. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. Kristi Noem. Mike Huckabee, the first evangelical Christian to serve as an ambassador to Israel. I could go on and on. Donald Trump signed an executive order to protect religious freedom. And Attorney General Pam Bondi is going after any and all anti-Christian bias in government. Donald Trump and Elon Musk are saving billions of dollars by rooting out government waste and fraud. Donald Trump's presidency is doing all kinds of good things for the country and for the kingdom. But since you didn't vote for him, God is doing it without you and in spite of you. So any never-Trumper Christians listen to the sermon right now who voted for Kamala Harris, I've got to ask you something. How could you do that? How could born-again, spirit-filled Christians who submitted every single area of their lives to the authority of the Word of God vote for the most godless, the most anti-Christian, the most anti-family candidate in the history of this country? How could you vote for socialism to destroy the entire economy of a nation and the livelihoods of tens of millions of people in this country just because you hate one man? How could you vote for totally unrestricted taxpayer-funded abortion up to the very nanosecond the baby is born and even beyond? How could you take a million unborn babies a year, fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord Himself, and just throw them under the bus because you hate one man? How could you vote for puberty blockers that sterilize little boys and girls for the rest of their lives and Dr. Frankenstein surgery that slice and dice the bodies that God specifically created for them? Do you want that to happen to your own kids? Do you want that to happen to anybody's kids? And if not, why did you vote for it? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, anybody who leads a little kid astray, better to have a millstone tied around that person's neck and be cast into the heart of the sea. How in the world could you sell your soul and vote against the Bible and everything you know deep down inside is right because you hated one man? I'll tell you why. Because you were deceived by the spirit of Baal, about Donald Trump and his past. King David was the greatest king the nation of Israel ever had. King David also committed adultery and then committed murder to cover that up. But 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14 said when it was all said and done, David was still a man after God's own heart. The man who wrote half the New Testament, at one time killed Christians just for the heck of it, the Apostle Paul. But see, Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus makes all things new. Donald Trump claims to be a man of faith. So why couldn't Jesus have done that for Donald Trump? King Jehu was a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime figure, raised up by God to save the nation of Israel politically so the people of God could save that nation spiritually. King Jehu was the only king in the entire history of the northern kingdom who was ever really anointed by God and who ever took on Baal worship. He wasn't man's choice. He was God's. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Donald Trump is a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime figure raised up by God to save the United States of America politically so the people of God could save it spiritually. Donald Trump is the only president in the history of this country that had absolutely no political or military experience before he took office the first time. He wasn't man's choice. He is God's. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. So even if he is not the leader you may have wanted, he's definitely the leader that God knew you needed. So any never-Trumper Christians listen to the sermon right now, stop following the spirit of Baal in the church of never-Trump and start following the spirit of God in the church of Jesus Christ like we all need to do. Amen. The second reason why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church is because we need to do it. Amen. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why we need to fire up and get the spirit of Baal out of the church. Not only because we're called to do it, not only because we need to do it, but third, because it's time to do it. And how do we know it's time? People, listen to me. I believe with all of my heart, this is the last chance the church in America is ever going to get to cast off the spirit of Baal and win this country for Christ. It's time. Jehu knew it was time. Because all the ministers of Baal and all the worshipers, the followers of Baal, were in that temple. Taking selfies with the sacred stones. Buying merch that said, my parents went to the Super Baal and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. But verse 21 says hell was coming for breakfast. Because the very nanosecond that animal sacrifice was made to Baal, the soldiers rushed in and started killing. No pity, no quarter, no mercy. Jehu didn't have any mercy on those people because God didn't have any mercy on those people. Because God says, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 15, anybody who worships an idol or a false god is to be absolutely, completely, and totally destroyed. Amen. So verse 27, they cut them down with the sword and killed everything that breathed. Then verses 25 to 27, Jehu and his men ran into the unholy place in that temple and pulled out all the sacred stones of Baal and Asherah. All the sacred pillars, which were nothing but pornographic phallic symbols. And verse 27 says they burned them. They burned them and then they threw cold water on them to shatter them in a million pieces. Then they tore that whole house of horrors to the ground. So Jehu literally brought the house down. And verse 27 said he turned the whole thing into a latrine and it's been a privy to this day. And what do you know? Back in 1935, archaeologists found the remains of that temple outside the city of Samaria with holes cut in the stone slabs for toilet seats and trenches dug in the floor to drain away the pee. So Baal's house became an outhouse, just exactly like the Bible said. And verse 28, Jehu destroyed the spirit of Baal in Israel, because it was time. And Christians, listen to me. It's time for us to destroy the spirit of Baal in the United States of America and also in the church. Amen. And how do we do that? By huffing and puffing and blowing the house down like Jehu did? No. We said last week our biggest fight as Christians is not a physical battle against the leftists. Our biggest fight as Christians is a spiritual battle against the demon spirits like the spirit of Baal that are just using the leftists to do the bad things. So to get rid of the spirit of Baal, for crying out loud, take authority over that nasty thing and cast it out in the name of Jesus. Because James chapter 4 verse 7, you rebuke the devil, he will flee from you. Get rid of the spirit of Baal, Christians. We have got to fire up. We've got to grow a spine and we've got to speak up and stand up on issues. You say, well, Kevin, I don't want to get in trouble. Folks, this pagan world already hates your God and hates your gospel with a prickly pear passion. So if you're not getting in trouble already, you're obviously not doing your job. The goal is not to get in trouble. The goal is to get into the right trouble. So stand up and fire up, because when you're getting flagged, at least you know you're over the target. Say, well, Kevin, how come my pastor doesn't speak up on issues like this and you do? I'll tell you why. Because your pastor is afraid of what people think about him, and I'm not. Because you can't keep preaching. God is love and love is love, and can't we just all get along? Because it's 1 second to midnight, and there's millions and millions of people going to hell in a handbasket. And that kind of psychobabble is not going to save anybody's soul. And I will not stand before God on Judgment Day with the blood of all of those people on my hands. Christians, for the love of God, you've got to speak up. Amen. Get rid of the spirit of Baal. You've got to get out of the temple of Baal. There's Christians listening to the sermon right now. You have got to get out of that woke church. You've got to quit going to that woke church, because God quit going there a long time ago. And if your pastor hasn't gotten it by now, he never will. Amen. So take your children by the hand and lead them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because you know what's coming. You know what comes next. Get rid of the spirit of Baal. You've got to stay out of the temple of Baal. 16-year-old Serenity Wilson, born again Christian. She's on the honor roll, dance team, witness to all the other students, all of them. At Lawrenceburg North High School, Fort Manor, Indiana, a suburb of Indianapolis. Fantastic Christian girl. But July the 3rd, for some reason, she went to a party in a bad part of East Indianapolis and ended up getting killed by a stray bullet from a drive-by shooting. And you know why that happened? Because sometimes the people of God lose their fire. And they end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing wrong things with the wrong people. There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. What are you doing in the temple of Baal? What in the world are you doing with worshipers of Baal? What are you doing watching the soft porn short reels on Facebook? What are you doing hanging out with guys who still get high? God delivered you from that addiction. Amen. What are you doing dating a guy who's controlling every single aspect of your life? For crying out loud, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, so that you're not destroyed along with the pagans when the judgment comes and the fire falls and God separates the wheat from the chaff. It's time. Does anybody else here know what time it really is? Does anybody else here see what's really going on and what's really happening, especially in this country? The greatest opportunity the church has ever had to bring this nation to Jesus Christ. Do we see it? Do we see what happened during the Super Bowl last Sunday? Donald Trump, orange man bad, got cheered like crazy. Meanwhile, Taylor Swift, who endorsed Kamala Harris for president. Taylor Swift, Tay-Tay, the most popular person on the planet last year, got booed out of the stadium. And she was so freaked out by it, she couldn't figure it out. People, what in the world is going on? I'll tell you. God has used the victory of Donald Trump last November the 5th to bring about the biggest political shift, the biggest cultural shift, and the biggest spiritual shift in this country in our entire lifetime. And we see it everywhere. Bible sales are going through the roof. Young men all over America who voted for Donald Trump are going to church in droves. Joe Rogan is doing podcasts on evidence of why the Bible is the true word of God. Mel Gibson is teaching people the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because if drag queen pastors won't preach it, God will use Joe Rogan and Mel Gibson to do it. People, it's time. We see it in the number of the year, 2025. The number 2025 is the number 45 squared, 45 times 45. 45 in the Bible is a symbol of God's people moving beyond something. Moving beyond what? Well, 45 is 5 times 9. 5 in the Bible is the number of destruction. 9 in the Bible is the number of judgment. So in the year 2025, God's people are going to be moving beyond the destruction and the judgment. The destruction and the judgment from what? Well, 2025 is also the year of the dragon. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5 says the dragon is the devil. So 2025, God's people are going to be moving beyond the destruction and the judgment that comes from the devil, like during the Great Tribulation, through the Antichrist, who's an agent of the devil. Somebody see where this is going. So 2025, God's people are going to be moving beyond the judgment and the destruction that's coming through the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation, moving beyond that by maybe moving up, like the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ, maybe. 2025 is 45 squared. Double down. So that means this year, 2025, God is doubling down on that message. Does anybody else think it's time? Does anybody else think it's time, church, for us to get out of here in the rapture? Anybody else think it's time to win this nation to Jesus Christ by taking on the spirit of Baal? And the incredible thing is, that's what Fox River Church has been doing for the last 31 years. When Sue and I came to Fox River Church back in March of 1994, one of the honchos from the AFLC told us that we were coming to this church to bury it, because they said this church was dying. Attacked by the spirit of Baal from the very start. And folks, you got to admit, the odds were against us. Because the vast majority of churches in this country over 100 years old, if they're not already closed and turned into museums, they're barely hanging on by their fingernails. They don't have any money and they don't have any musical talent to put on a worship service. But guess what? To this day, Fox River has more money than we know what to do with, and we got more musical talent than the Dixie Stampede. And why is that? Because this church is not run by the spirit of Baal. It's run by the spirit of God. And because of that, we never went for any of the gimmicks that a lot of other churches in America did. Things like the Prayer of Jabez and Wild at Heart and Purpose Driven Life and The Shack and God's Not Dead. I could go on and on. And we didn't focus on any specific demographic to reach out to. We never did anything purposely to grow. We just kept having church led by the Spirit of God. And week after week and month after month and year after year, God just kept adding people to this congregation. And because of that, the spirit of Baal kept attacking us too. But the band of brothers and sisters here just kept fending off all of those attacks. Demon spirits, demonic curses, strip clubs over at the corner, people shooting at us, false accusations, a coup attempt by a former assistant pastor and two former elders. January 2020, the devil even set fire to the roof above the men's bathroom out there. Like as not, burned the whole church down. But what do you know? The Spirit of God put that fire out too. Because this church is not run by the spirit of Baal. It's run by the Spirit of God. Then Baal hit us big time in March of 2020 with COVID. And we shut down for 7 weeks and did services by live stream. Then after the first month, we realized COVID was just a scamdemic that only killed the very sick and the very old. So after Easter that year, the Spirit of God told me to shift gears and preach a sermon called I Want My Rights Back. Because COVID was being used as the biggest attack on our God-given constitutional rights in the history of this country. Then after 7 weeks, the Spirit of God led us to open up again for worship. And people told us we were one of only two churches that were open in the entire state of Illinois. And I don't know if that's true, but I know there weren't very many others. And the Spirit of God kept telling us to keep talking about God and country and rights and freedoms. And we've been doing that ever since. So the amazing thing is, what's going on in America right now, the emphasis on rights and freedoms and truth and honor and patriotism, we had that spirit here at Fox River 5 years ago. Nice to see the rest of the country finally catching up. And because most of the churches in this area were still closed, people who wanted to go to those churches started coming here. And because the sermons kept talking about freedom and God-given rights and the Constitution and issues in the country, because of that, they tapped in to millions and millions of people in this nation who are patriots, who love America and would die for freedom, but they weren't saved. And because the sermons that were coming out of this church kept talking about rights and freedoms in the Constitution, those patriots started listening to those sermons. And because those sermons always had an explanation of the gospel with an altar call at the end, those patriots listened to those sermons and they got saved. A lot of them got saved right up here in the front of this church. Now, did we strategize that whole thing? Are you kidding me? We're not smart enough to do that. The Holy Spirit did that. Again, we were just having church led by the Holy Spirit. And the more we kept talking about freedom and rights and God and honor and country, more and more people got saved. And more people started watching our live streams, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. And we got all kinds of feedback. Here's just a couple of them. A man named George from Tucumcari, New Mexico. Just want to thank you for the sermons online because they saved my life. A year ago, I was going to OD on Vicodin and kill myself. But then a guy I met at a gas station in Albuquerque told me about this big mega church in Illinois. They think we're a mega church that turned his life around. So I decided to watch your live stream. And the first Sunday was about pulling down the Jericho strongholds in your life. I cried like a baby, and I got saved that day and started pulling down all the drugs and depression and spirits of suicide in my life. And I am still here today walking with Jesus. The ministry of your church is amazing grace. Here's another one. A woman named Danielle from Springfield, Missouri. All praise and thanks to God for you and your sermons online. I have a husband who had been an alcoholic since he was 13 years old and two sons in their 30s who drank just as bad as he did. But about 2 years ago, a friend told him about this church in Norwood, Illinois, Norwood. And this pastor who talks about Trump and the country. And they started watching and never missed. They would never go to church, but they never missed a Fox River sermon on live stream. And last September, glory to God, all three of them prayed with your pastor when he gave an altar call in your church. All three of them are saved. They all quit drinking. And for the first time in their lives, they're trying to live for Jesus. Your church, all those miles away, has changed my family forever. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Folks, in the last 5 years, this congregation has led more people to Christ than at any other time in the 186-year history of this congregation. The Spirit of God overcoming the Spirit of Baal. Because the worst thing the Spirit of Baal tried to do to us, close down for COVID, turned out to be the best thing the Spirit of God wanted to do for us by expanding our influence all over the planet. And we get this criticism all the time. Kevin, you're too political. And because you're too political, it limits your reach. Are you kidding me? I'm getting emails now from everybody from England to Pakistan, from Brazil to Japan, and everywhere in between. Still think our reach is limited? And do you know why that's happening? Very simple. Because we lift up Jesus. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We're not afraid to preach it or stand for the truth that's in it. And because of that, this little country church in the middle of Norway, Illinois, the middle of nowhere, Illinois, literally has a reach all over this planet. And I know somebody's hearing this and say, yeah, Kevin, it's great that you're reaching out so much, but I bet you're not even taking care of the people you got in your congregation. You're not even ministering to them. You're not even touching them at all. Got this letter a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Kevin, I was a really bad alcoholic since I was in high school, and I had all kinds of bad boyfriends who just partied and used me. And I was so depressed, I tried to kill myself so many times. Once I even drank Drano and ended up in ICU. And for years and years, I had this battle inside of me between good and evil, between the devil and the Lord. And I thank God so much He never gave up on me and kept fighting for my life and my soul, even when I didn't want to fight for myself. Then about a year ago, somebody from my recovery group told me to watch your church online. So I listened to a sermon, and I couldn't believe you were just south of Newark. So I started coming on Sundays whenever I could, because sometimes I have to work. And I hate to miss, because the Holy Spirit in your church just blows me away. And the sermon you preached a couple of weeks ago about laying hands on ourselves and casting out the demons, the Spirit of God got all over me. And I got this really cold feeling inside. And then I started shaking and crying, and I tried not to let anybody around me see it. But God did a deliverance that day and got Jezebel out of my life. Because for the first time in 38 years, my depression is gone. And I want to live now, and I want to serve God. All glory to Jesus for setting me free. And all thanks to Fox River Church for being God's hand in delivering me. And notice something. Not one single word in that letter about Donald Trump. Not one single word in that letter about politics. And you know why? Because this church is not about politics. This church is about the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God trumps the spirit of Baal every single time. Amen. Christians, listen to me. If you have ever been serious at any time in your entire life about winning people to Christ or winning this country to Christ before Jesus comes and it's too late, it's now. The moment is here. The time is now. Because I believe with all of my heart this is the greatest opportunity the church has ever had and the last chance the church is ever going to get to make America great again by making America born again before it's all over with. Because God is doing something in this country, the likes of which we've never seen before. But now God has to do something in the church, the likes of which we've never seen before. God gave us this victory last November the 5th, political, cultural, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. God, please don't let us waste that victory. Let's not miss it. God, please, let's not stand before Him on Judgment Day with absolutely nothing to show for it. God, help us. We need to come before Him today. We need that Holy Spirit today. God is doing something, folks. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. Get the spirit of Baal out of this country. But you know what? To get the spirit of Baal out of the church and the spirit of Baal out of America, we first of all have to get that spirit of Baal out of us, don't we? Because every single one of us are spending way too much time in the house of Baal, not enough time in the house of God. Spending way too much time with the Baal people, not enough time with the God people. And because of that, our fire's gone out, hasn't it? And we keep ending up in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing wrong things with the wrong people. You're sitting in this church today, your fire's gone out because we've stopped caring about all the most important thing. Instead, we're caring about all the other things that aren't as important. We need that Holy Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit to come and get that spirit of Baal out of us. We need the Holy Spirit to come today and burn away absolutely everything in our lives that don't belong so we can be those people with that Jehu anointing on our lives to win this nation to Jesus Christ. The last chance, listen to me, the last chance we're ever going to have. The moment is here. The time is now. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Spirit of the living God, fall on me. Let that fire fall on me today.
I'm thinking of the contest that the Baal worshipers had with Elijah. And they were, whoever's God starts the fire, is the winner, right? So the Baal worshipers got their altar ready, and they waited and they prayed, and fire never came. They started cutting themselves, and fire still didn't come. And Elijah gets his altar ready with the bulls, and he said, "Dump some water on that." And they prayed, and the fire came. It even burned up the water and everything on the altar. And so that's our God. Lord, we are the ones called by your name. We humble ourselves now as we pray. Renouncing every sin and wicked way. Lift our voice, seek your face and say, Lord, send rain, pour out your spirit.
Heal us one and all, for rest.
you're here today, you need prayer, any issue at all, just come forward. You need today to get saved, come forward. Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart in a way you've never heard Him before. Now is your time. This is it. Today is the day of salvation. Just act on it. Whatever need you have, health, finances, you got something in your life, the spirit of Baal taken over, let's come forward. Let's cast it out. Leave this church today free, ready to serve Jesus. Otherwise, go in peace.